Moving past the writing challenge today on The Right Focus. Welcome. The Right Focus is for all writers at all levels, but today we're especially for writers and readers of fantasy. We have a first chapter excerpt of the second novella that developed from the April writing challenge, which led to this April's podcast challenge to post an episode every day in April. Rock trolls, wraiths, shape-shifting weir, and dark fae. Those fantastical creatures are the focus of To Charm the Wind, the sequel of To Wield the Wind. We hope you enjoy this first chapter. Here's the book description. When Haven isn't a sanctuary, when the untried wizard Auriel enters the wilding on her journey to Icecleft Haven, she expects threats from bears and mountain lions, vipers and hornets. She certainly doesn't expect the creatures of legend, wraiths and gobbers, shape-shifting weir, and the dark fae called the Kyrgi. Grim, an outcast from Icecleft Haven, is the keen steel that stands with her against these dangers. Yet when they reach the Haven, the Elder arrests Grim. The Haveners aren't interested in a renewed alliance with the Wizard Enclave. Is her mission for the Enclave in vain? Will she ever escape the wilding? Chapter 1. Auriel watched the sentries lead Grim away. Head high, he walked between two burly men, with a third leading the way to the jail the Elder had promised that Grim would endure. The crowd opened as the men approached. No one spoke as Grim and his guards passed through. Then they closed quickly and stared at her, a stranger come to their haven with Grim. The pale blue eyes of the Elder Tobit gleamed. His broad grin angered her. "Now, what about you, pretty lady?" The naming implied she was no more than a play toy. Her wizard trials were a year away, but she'd fought weir and gobbers in the past days, fought and defeated them. "I am an emissary for the Wizard Enclave," Auriel thought. "I cannot begin my mission by antagonizing this elder." Yet she refused to be anyone's play toy. "The last person who called me pretty lady died. I killed his friends too. They were weir. Their bodies are at the recent slide by the river's bend, if the gobbers haven't feasted on them." "Weir?" the elder questioned as the word rippled through the people. "We have no weir this far south. You have a lair of weir and a sorceress who spelled them to shift out of Moonturn. We left their bodies by the river. You can look where the slide plunges down to the water. The eldritch green of sorcery will have faded, and the gobbers looked particularly hungry." "We'll not be inspecting their remains in the dark," he blustered. The elder folded his thick arms over his broad belly. His scowl felt weighty, like a stomp from one of his big feet planted wide. "If the gobbers eat them, we'll find nothing but bones in the morning." "True," Auriel didn't push hard, for she didn't want the elder erecting an impenetrable stubborn wall at her next point. "Can Rogieri not scan the remains and identify your natural enemy?" Before the burly man could answer, a woman stepped forward. "I propose a compromise. We can easily check in the morning, Tobit, and our scouts can identify the bones of the weir." The elder's scowl pressed on the woman, but she didn't bow beneath it. Silver-haired and bony beside his bulk, she opened a door for his escape from the blind alley that his blustering had driven him into. "A compromise," Auriel seized it, for she'd seen her own blind alley. "May I ask to attend Grimm's hearing?" "That's only for the people of this haven. You have no place here." A stir behind her. Then Grimm's friend Brock stepped beside her. "She's under my protection, Tobit. You heard Grim." "He has no voice in our haven. He abandoned us 2 years ago." "Even so, she's under my protection." "Do you even know her name?" Auriel winced. Who had had time for introductions? Then she lifted her voice and stirred the air to carry her words, wanting everyone to hear, not just the people at the fore of the crowd. "Greetings, Elder Tobit of Icecleft Haven, from the Wizard Enclave of Mont Neurus." The air changed. A feral tang burdened it, those few words waking anger. She could not tell the source of the anger, so she continued with the formal greeting she had rehearsed every day for the past weeks of her journey from Tre Lucerna across the border of Mont Neurus, through the Lonelands, and into the wilding to reach the Haven. "I am Auriel of Clan Galfrons, sent by the Arch-Clan to renew the alliance between wizards and Rogieri. Frostclimb threatens all of us. Her own spurt of answer compelled her to add, "Which you will discover when you examine the weir that Grim and I killed at the river's bend." Murmurs rose from the crowd. Support or dissent, she couldn't tell. She hoped no one threw a rock. Tubbit's scowl increased. "Your enclave." Two words, heavy as boulders. If he'd said wizard, she would have had to lie. That was never wise. Enclave and friend. Wizards don't make friends with Rogieri. I am friend with Roe. I think I offered you alliance. The retort drew laughter and removed that wild tang of hostility. A whiff of it remained, but diffused. "She's honest," someone called. The crowd's move shifted more. A palpable lightening of the heavy rancor. "You're going to enslave us to the wizard enclave, Tobit?" That shout drew more laughter. Tobit chose to laugh, but humor didn't glitter in his close-spaced eyes. "Not tonight," he shouted back. People trickled away from the crowd. Mothers with children on their hips, men with tools still in hand, youths with better interest than an enclave visitor who didn't want to spark trouble when she came begging for Rogieri help. And Oriole hadn't drawn the crowd. Grim had. His return had drawn the Haveners to him, like the compass north drew a thin metal needle. "Prove it," Tobit demanded, and the people who had slipped away came back, eager for any excitement to break up the monotony of days. "I beg your pardon?" She hoped she had misheard. "A polite wizard? I didn't know such a thing existed." He relished the rippling laughter that time. "Prove it. You say your enclave. Wizards are proud of their spells. Show us one." "Are you certain?" she asked as she scrambled through the spells she had relied on. "Afraid we won't be impressed, wizard?" "I am a guest. I would not overstep." Tobit swept his hands expansively. "You wouldn't endanger us. That's against the wizard tenets, unless the uppity enclave has changed in the last decades. Show us the element you wield. Show my people a reason to ally with the enclave against the sorcerers and the weir who threatened the Icecleft Citadel and Mont Norris." "And this haven," she reminded, "for Grim and I killed 7 of the pack. 6 remain." The hostility returned, pressing, as if the very air had stony weight. Tobit smiled still. His eyes, though, looked flat and hard. How many did he fool with that guise of humor? "We will wait. This enclave wizard must need hours to access enough power for a single spell." Oriole held out her hand, palm up. Power sparkled, a swirling vortex that danced in the heart of her palm before jumping from fingertip to fingertip. A simple spell, her first, learned when her power quickened. Prettiness rather than usefulness. Tobit guffawed. "Child's play. You fought a weir with that sweet, sparkly spell, pretty lady? You're lying. No wizard spell can fight the weir, let alone kill them. The least of us know that." The taunt ran fire through her. Grim had reminded her that wizardry couldn't fight the shape-shifting weir. Her brother Saith, a great wizard, had died for that reason. He defended against a weir attack with magic rather than elemental power. Grief had shaken her when Grim gave her that news. Yet Saith's death had helped the warning to stick. Without it, she would have died when she made her own mistake with magic as she fought her first weir. Anger sizzled through her at Tobit's taunt. She shoved it down, then tilted her head. She gave her most charming smile. Well practiced in the courts of Tre Lucerna. "Oh, you want to know how I killed the weir? You should have asked that. I used something like this, with rocks." She spun the vortex into a tight spiral. As it lengthened, it jumped from her hand to the paving stones of the well square, gathering grit and dust into a whirl. She shoved it at the elder. The spell blasted him with gusty force. Tobit leaned into the wind. The power rippled over his flesh. His grizzled hair and beard streamed behind him. Then the wind rushed past him and leaped into the sky, tugging at pennants and laundry, snagging chimney smoke, and dissipating into the cold blue sky. Tobit tilted back his head and roared with laughter. Several of the crowd joined him. Lips pursed, the white-haired woman beside him merely drew her hand down her long braid. Her gaze darted around the crowd, judging the effect of Tobit's mocking laughter. Then it returned to Oriole. When he'd laughed enough, the elder pointed at Oriole. "Prepare," was his only warning. He clapped his hands together. A boom shuddered under her feet. Oriole staggered. Brock grabbed her arm and hauled her back. The ground where she stood had cracked open. "Is this a battle, then?" Brock shouted while she gaped at the cracked ground. "You wanted proof of the lady's wizardry. You've given a taste of your power. I'd say we're done here." "Far from done," Tobit declared. "No." A single word, spoken rather than shouted, but weighted like a boulder. It came from her left. A gnarled staff leading the way, a man stepped from the crowd. He lacked the bulk that grounded the elder, but shared the big man's grizzled hair and beard. "No," he repeated. "The lady wizard is a guest. We'll not have a battle on her first evening with us. She fought Weir to reach us. We have only her word. Evidence we can easily check. I say she has this evening for rest," the white-haired woman proposed, ever seeking a compromise. "Time enough on the morrow to hear her mission." "She's towed it." Then Tobit shut his mouth, and Auriel belatedly saw the crowd's agreement with the woman. The elder wisely didn't press his argument. "Is that the word of you all?" The crowd shuffled then, close to her right. People edged back, a wave that separated one man from the common sea, younger than the other mentors. Rock's tight grip on her arm eased. "Fortis," he murmured, "Grimm's friend, and therefore yours." Broad of shoulder, but short and stocky, Fortis gave a cheeky grin, one she believed for the humor that twinkled in his dark eyes. "Lelias and Surek have the right of it. Done for now," Tobit smiled, but his beady eyes narrowed to slits. "Done for now," he agreed. "I'll go about your business. A night and a day before us. Then we'll hear from Grimm and this pretty lady." "Night and day," the other leaders echoed. Lelias, Surek, and this third one, Grimm's friend, turned into the crowd and were quickly lost in the shuffling sea of bodies. Tobit watched her. Auriel dared not smile, for she knew he would misinterpret her relief as glee. "My thanks," she called. "Tomorrow," he said, more threat than promise. "After Grimm's hearing, Brock, you offered protection." And he walked away. Standing at Tobit's back, a man with a patched eye laughed. The sound had an ugly edge. Three long slashes had scarred him from brow to cheek, above and beneath the patch. Scars from were-claws. A weir had taken his eye, but not his life. He laughed again, then followed the elder. And Auriel added him to the tally of Haveners actively against her mission. "Come," Brock snapped. That's the first chapter of To Charm the Wind. While I wrote this novella about 2 years after the writing challenge month with To Wield the Wind, it's based on ideas that were born that April. Writing this trilogy of novellas forced my writing self to craft cliffhangers. Each book is a complete story with an overarching conflict. The cliffhangers are designed to lure readers of book one to book two and book two to three. Next Wednesday, we'll have the first chapter of the conclusion to Curse the Weir. Inspiration for this episode comes from John Gardner. True artists, whatever smiling faces they may show you, are obsessive, driven people. That's certainly true. To write daily, to tackle a complex major project that requires weeks and even months, that definitely requires drive and obsession. Devotion to writing can be called obsessive. It's definitely a laser-eyed focus. I'm laser-eyed on my current project. It's a murder mystery set in 1920. I've introduced the protagonist, Isabella Newcomb, in this new setting, as well as the murderer and assorted red herrings. The victim comes on scene as an obnoxious character. Isabella and a friend have stumbled upon the murder scene just now. It's chapter 5 of The Rough Shape, 15,000 words into the manuscript. Is that too late for the body drop? Not when I have all these introductions to do. Time to scatter clues, obvious red herrings, and hidden red clues, and introduce a few more suspects. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. In May, we have the first chapters from each of the three novellas that resulted from the April Writing Challenge. On the 5th, we have the post-draft update. On May 12, first chapter of To Wield the Wind, the actual manuscript completed in the Writing Challenge in 2019. On May 19, the first chapter of To Charm the Wind, followed by May 26, To Curse the Weir, the concluding novellas finished this year. June begins a summer-long focus on the writing craft as we look at the skills needed for discovering your novel. Enjoy the sunshine, and remember, write on!